Peter Skerry is the professor of political science here at Boston College and a non-resident senior fellow at Brookings Institution. His research focuses on social policy, racial and ethnic politics, and immigration. He has held numerous previous posts and fellowships in government, academy, and other research institutions, including the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, UCLA's Center for American Politics and Public Policy, and the American Enterprise Institute. He once also served as legislative director for Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan of New York. His PhD is from Harvard University. Professor Skerry has written widely for academic and popular audiences alike. Three of his articles for general audiences about Muslims in America are posted on our website if you'd like to read them. His books include Mexican Americans, The Ambivalent Minority, which won the 1993 LA Times Book Prize, and Counting on the Census, Race, Group Identity, and the Evasion of Politics. As I understand it, he's presently at work on a new book about social, cultural, and political integration of Muslims and Arabs in the United States, but I'll leave it to him to describe that work. Peter Skerry, we're delighted you're here today.
Okay, thank you, Eric. It's great to be here, and thanks to you and to Alan for inviting me, and thank you all for coming, particularly on such a wet, gloomy day. Well, this is part of a book that I'm eagerly trying to bring to a conclusion that I've been working on since sometime after 9/11 about Muslims, really not so much Arabs, but Muslims in the United States. And for the last several years, I've been traveling around the country, visiting mosques, Islamic schools, talking to teachers in those schools, principals, also visiting and talking to, interviewing people at various Muslim organizations, like the Islamic Society of North America, the Muslim American Society, the Muslim Brotherhood in America, also the advocacy organizations like CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and so on. And really what I'm trying to ultimately kind of get my hands around is what is happening with this community, Muslim Americans, this community in the making. How does it see itself, and how is it situating itself in the context of the United States? And that's really what I'm trying to get my arms around. And what I'm going to talk about today is a slice of it that really emphasizes, in the first instance, my focus in my work about looking at what's going on with Muslims and to Muslims, and I guess by Muslims, in the United States. It seems to me that the debate over what's going on with Muslims often winds up being a debate about foreign influences on Muslims in the United States. And I think that's an old American sort of trope. We are inclined to sort of look abroad for who's pulling the strings about whether it's Catholics or other elements in American society, communists that we're that we have reason to be concerned about to varying degrees. And I don't deny that those external influences are there and are operative and in various ways are trying to influence what's going on with Muslims in America, but I think it's way overdone, and certainly to the exclusion of looking at how our own political, cultural institutions and dynamics are influencing Muslims here. So with that in mind, in the short time that I have to kind of lay this out for you and want to leave plenty of time for questions, I want to elaborate on two different perspectives or two different frames that I've sort of devolved to as a way of understanding what's going on with Muslims in the United States and at the same time maybe predicting how they're going to situate themselves, particularly in the political sense, in the broadest sense of political. Those two frames, for lack of better terms, and I'm more than happy to hear anyone who's got better terms for me for these. I suppose I'm more than happy to hear anyone who's got better notions of what makes more sense for frames, but I'm particularly interested in the label since I'm kind of invested in the frames. But we'll see. The two frames are what I will call a racial minority frame, and the second one is a kind of religious minority frame. And I will elaborate on both of those. Now, I'm going to have to assume that you know something about Muslims in the United States. I guess I should say a few things, just so we're all starting from the same page. My best estimation, and it's all estimation because we don't have any solid, hard numbers on any of this, is that there are about 2 to 3 million Muslims in the United States today. I've yet to meet a Muslim who would agree with that. They'll all tell you there's 6 to 8 million Muslims in the United States. It so happens they've been telling each other and telling everyone there's 6 to 8 million Muslims in the United States for the past 25 years. So on its face, I think that number is suspect. And I think the best estimates are much, much lower. Bottom line is that the numbers are growing. I want to hear about the Iraq, what we owe the Iraqis, because we owe them a lot. There are going to be a lot more Iraqi refugees coming in. And that's just one example of how numbers of Muslims are growing. And I think the critical factor is, to put it bluntly and somewhat, not to offend anyone, but to put it bluntly, the numbers are growing, and I think sooner or later there will be more Muslims in the United States than there are Jews, which is what the numbers argument is, I think, essentially all about. So that's the broadest perspective on numbers. I think the other critical thing to understand about Muslims in the United States is that they are an incredibly diverse and motley collection of people and groupings. I'm talking linguistically, ethnically, national origin-wise, denominationally, to use a not quite right word in terms of differences among Shia, Sunni, or Sufi, and on, different madhabs, different schools of legal interpretation, and racially, which is going to get me to my topic of my two different frames, because a large segment, somewhere between a fifth and a third of Muslims in the United States are African Americans. That's an important piece of the puzzle, especially politically. So those are the two sort of broad, one could say lots more about the sort of sociology of Muslims in America today. But that's the snapshot version. Now, turning to my two different frames, the racial minority frame is very much a reflection of the post-9/11 environment. It is a good example of the Muslim American leadership really, I would say, waking up after 9/11 and realizing that the African American Muslims whom they had previously, before 9/11, dealt with, I think it's fair to say, at arm's length. Certainly when called upon, welcomed them into their mosques, but wasn't greatly troubled by the fact that most African American Muslims had their own mosques. And when I'm talking about African American Muslims now, I'm talking about genuinely, you know, Sunni Orthodox Muslims. I'm not talking about Black Muslims or Elijah Muhammad or any or Farrakhan followers. They're not Muslims. Farrakhan sort of moved in some directions toward Orthodox Islam, but he embraces a Muslim and doesn't really identify himself as a Muslim, and that's very marginal. It's completely outside of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Orthodox Sunni Islam and African American adherence to it. And there was a big gulf between African American Muslims and immigrant origin Muslims before 9/11, and there still is gulfs that are socioeconomic in nature, as well as racial. And I suppose the defining event that really signaled a real schism or a real division of perspective between African American Muslims and immigrant origin Muslims was when in 2000 the immigrant origin Muslims came together in a consortium and coalition of organizations and endorsed George Bush in his first election bid, and announced this proudly that Muslims in America were endorsing George Bush. And in fact, as best we can tell, 75, maybe 80%, that might be a little high, of Muslim voters, in fact, went for Bush in 2000. Yet that coalition did not include African American Muslims who were not really even consulted and who clearly would not have gone along with an endorsement of Bush, it's pretty safe to say. And that reflected this division between them, and it exacerbated them. And then 9/11 happened. And suddenly immigrant origin Muslims realized that they needed allies, that they needed guides to the political terrain that they had been somewhat ambivalent about getting involved with before 9/11. They're still rank and file, I think, are still ambivalent about getting involved in various aspects of American society, including politics. The leaders are quite convinced of the need to do so, but rank and file are somewhere else. But the leaders definitely, after 9/11, realized that they needed allies, they needed guides, and they turned to African American Muslims, and African Americans generally, for that matter, to play that role. It's also true that civil rights, in the wake of the events after 9/11, even before the Patriot Act, you may or may not be aware that immediately after 9/11, 1,200 Muslims were swept off the streets of America and held in camera for we don't know how long. And to all accounts now, just about all of those individuals have been dealt with one way or another, either released or deported. And that sent shockwaves through the Muslim American community long before the Patriot Act did. And the Patriot Act has sort of stepped into the role of being the bogeyman for Muslim Americans. I think it's often exaggerated its negative impact, but I don't doubt that there has been a negative impact from the Patriot Act on Muslim Americans. But my point is that the civil liberties plank, if you will, of the African-American posture in American politics suddenly made more sense to immigrant origin Muslims after 9/11. So for all these reasons, there have been all sorts of efforts to overcome the past and to identify with and to bring on board African-American Muslims as part of this broader Muslim-American community. And that's manifested in lots of ways. Most prominent Mexican-American, most prominent Muslim-American organizations after 9/11 brought on African-American Muslims in key leadership posts. It's not clear how important they were to the decision-making, but they were brought on. And to come to the point about my frame, at the rank and file level, I think this has really sunk in, this confluence that I'm trying to talk about, this racial minority frame. And I have, almost without fail, every time I've been at a meeting of Muslim Americans that is in some way dealing with politics, sooner or later, what I call the Muslim mantra gets articulated. And the Muslim mantra goes something like this. This is a very difficult time for Muslims in America. We're really, you know, taking it in the neck. We're really up against it. But you know what? This is how America treats its minorities. This is how America treated blacks. It's how America treated Jews. Muslims are very aware of that. It's how America treated the Japanese during World War II. And it's how they're treating us now. And what those groups did and had to do was fight back and claim their rights as Americans for themselves and insist upon it and fight back. That's what they did, and now that they've done it, they're fully ensconced, fully fledged American citizens. And we're going to have to do the same thing. And I think that's a very, I mean, aside from the fact that it's that assertion is ubiquitous, it's revealing. I mean, it's revealing on the one hand of the jeopardy that Muslim Americans feel themselves to be in, and at the same time, the sense of hope that America has ideals that it's not living up to, but it can be made to live up to them, because that's what's happened in the past. And I think both sides of that coin are very much in evidence. But it emphasizes this sort of civil rights deprivation perspective, and it's very powerful. But there are strains here. There are problems, ways in which this doesn't fit, and I think gets become problematic. One way that there are strains I've already mentioned. There are the strains between African American Muslims and African Americans generally, and Muslim Americans. There's conflicts of perspective that just simply aren't overcome by these post 9/11 efforts. And I could talk more about those in the Q&A. Another set of strains comes along that I didn't mention as part of this template, this racial minority template, of course, is that it doesn't just bring along this emphasis on civil rights and civil rights violations. It just doesn't bring along African Americans. It brings along liberals. It brings along the ACLU. It brings along progressives of various sorts. Amy Goodman is to be found at every Muslim convention I've ever been at. Okay, and her program broadcasting from there. And these are all the newfound friends of Muslim Americans. But this liberal-Muslim love affair, I think, is not destined to go on forever. It's got real strains that are implicit in it. Muslims have real problems with large parts of the liberal agenda, especially the cultural agenda, homosexuality, gay rights, as well as abortion and other aspects of the social progressive agenda. They may espouse liberal positions, and I think they're trying to kind of learn how to play the tune when it comes to the environment, healthcare, and so forth. But it's the social, it's the cultural issues that are real problems. So those are some of the strains that are likely to emerge. And then finally, and this comes back to, I think, with one of the key questions for Muslim Americans, is that this civil rights minority frame, racial minority frame, ignores and downplays, in a curious kind of way, the immigrant origins of Muslims. As Muslims get drawn into this perspective and see their experience and define their agenda through this civil rights African-American perspective, they allow themselves, or are allowed, to overlook the fact that blacks are not immigrants. And for whatever America has visited upon blacks, it's never in any serious fundamental way questioned the political loyalty of blacks. And that's, I think, what's ultimately at issue for Muslims in America, questions about their political loyalty. And I'm not always convinced that Muslim Americans do face up to, especially their leaders, face up to the challenge of their political loyalty to the United States. So this racial minority civil rights frame allows them to kind of sidestep that and to think about, well, you know, America dealt with Black Panthers, and this is literally conversations I had, and they had problems with Black Panthers, and there were trials and accusations, but look, now Bobby Rush is in Congress, so if the African Americans can pull that off, so can we. Not so fast. So that's the one frame. And now, quickly, I will explore this other religious minority frame, which I think is simultaneously, I think, more salubrious in a kind of broad political perspective, and also I think fits the facts in some ways better. By religious minority, I have in mind religious immigrant minority, really, is what I want to emphasize. The historical experience of ironically enough, and Muslims in their way are mindful of this, tangentially, but they're mindful of it, of the experience of Jewish immigrants in America. And what I have in mind especially, Jewish immigrants back turn of the 20th century when we did have things like the Red Scare in 1919 and concern about anarchists who did in fact go around blowing up buildings, including the home of the Attorney General of the United States, Palmer, on R Street, not too far from DuPont Circle, where I spend a lot of time. There was a genuine Red Scare, and Jews, not Jews alone, were part of the anarchist, anarcho-syndicalist, and clearly, new communist movements right after World War I. And there were questions about their political loyalty. And I think even more apt, of course, is questions around Catholics in the 19th century and the challenges to their political loyalty for reasons I don't need to go into great depth with here, and in fact people here could go into more depth than I could, in terms of whether Catholics were, more loyal to Rome than they would be to Washington in America. It seems to me that's a much more fruitful frame for Muslims and non-Muslims alike to think about what the challenges are going to be for Muslims in America. And I think at the same time it's also suggestive of going back to the issue of the how long lived this current Muslim progressive liberal coalition can last. Having suggested that I don't think it's going to last very long, and it's got some real instability built into it. In an interesting kind of way, it seems to me that Catholics in America are much, much more likely coalition partners for Muslims. Not only do they have this common history where they can both learn from and address each other's struggle to deal with claims that they're not politically loyal to the United States, they also, in fact, share some contemporary kind of political instincts, for lack of a better term, that Catholics, not unlike Muslims, tend to be economic liberals, and at the same time social conservatives. And that, in broad terms, is very compatible with where Muslims are at. And then finally, as I've been suggesting, I think this perspective focuses Muslims and the rest of us on what I think is the crucial question, in terms of Muslims taking seriously and the rest of us trying to ask the serious questions about Muslim political loyalty. My implication being that both sides of the divide, if you will, have their way of sort of either not taking the question of political loyalty seriously on the Muslim side or on the non-Muslim side, finding all sorts of, I think, unfair and not always reasonable ways to challenge the political loyalty of Muslims in America. But having said that, that's the agenda item. And I think that's what we're facing. And implicit in this, and I'll stop here, is my notion, that much of the stuff that gets talked about in the media, much of the stuff, that makes for interesting newspaper articles about when women wear hijab or not, all these other kinds of social and cultural issues that are there and that will arise about whether Muslims can, drink alcohol with non-Muslims, that's an issue for Muslims more than it is for non-Muslims, or whether it's the hijab, and all these other social and cultural issues, they're going to get worked out. America's good at that. There'll be bumps along the way. We'll resolve those questions. But there'll be tensions around it, but by and large we'll resolve them. But the question of the political loyalty to the United States of Muslim Americans, I think, is going to be a much, much more difficult debate that we've only begun to think about, and it's only going to get harder, not easier. So with that, I'll stop and welcome your questions.